to Thriving with a Chronic Illness. I am your host, Smiling Sonia, and I share ideas, tools, and strategies I've learned living with and recovering from recurrent viral meningitis. I've undergone mindset shifts that have helped me move from just living to striving with a chronic illness. I know what it's like to worry about taking extended sick leave or losing a job through chronic illness. I share how you can become financially stable with the peace of mind that you have enough money saved to prepare for those emergencies and cover future financial goals.
Good morning. Smiling Sonia here. It is Sunday, the 7th of March 2021. It's been a week since I recorded my audio journal, which is a long time. I thought I'd got myself back into some kind of consistent recording, but obviously not. I'm not too sure why I didn't come out walking last week, because I didn't come out walking. But I was doing my workouts indoors, and oh, I know, there were a couple of days when I needed to be at my computer starting work earlier than normal. And at the end of the day, despite an intention to go for a walk, my body just isn't there. Not there yet. So today, I'm going to be doing day one of my 5-day treasure chest challenge. I think when I spoke last time, I said I was going to be doing over that first week. I was thinking of maybe each month at the beginning of the month introducing my treasure chest challenge and the first 5 days. Well, I didn't do it last week. Okay. I just didn't do it last week. I've not even uploaded episodes of my podcast onto Anchor, so there's a bit of a gap at the moment. But I'm not giving myself a hard time about that. I'm not. Maybe I can call this my rest period. So as I was thinking today about the treasure chest challenge, and I'll give a reason why in a moment, I was thinking, it's just the second week. I said I was going to do it the first week of the month to sort of kick the month off. And then I thought, one of the things that I like to do is my no spend challenge. And that I then wondered whether I should start the month with talking about doing a no spend challenge month and sharing some tips and strategies during that first week. And then the second week be the week where we then look at sort of finding our hidden cash. So I thought that might work. Everything's an experiment, remember? Everything's an experiment. So we'll see about that. So I at this moment, I'm liking that idea. I'm liking that idea. I've got these lovely gloves on. It's cold. I'm out. It's about midday. Not quite. Still the morning. And I wasn't going to wear my gloves, but it's cold, and I got these gloves as a present from a very special person, and it allows me to still use my phone to touch. So all very fancy, lovely. Anyway, so what I want to do now is I'm here's what I'm going to do. First of all, I'm going to give you an update on what's happening with the house, because I did say some time ago that that's going to be my focus at the moment, especially it being up for sale, etc. So let me give you an update on that. Okay, and, you know, everything rolls back to me, everything rolls back to my health, everything rolls back to my finances, everything rolls back to my physical environment, and definitely the house is that. Okay, and then we'll sort of get stuck into today's topic. Update on house. So, I think I may have said last time that someone's made an offer. And so over the last week, it's really been about I'm trying to find a solicitor. I've been hassled a bit by the estate agents who are telling me that the buyers are really eager to get things moving and they want my solicitor's name, and I haven't got the solicitors yet. The estate agents gave me a recommendation, which is obviously their solicitors. They gave me a quote of around £1,200, something like that. And the Housing Association also had a list of solicitors that they recommend, who they say are very expert at shared ownership. So I went through that list, making phone calls, and two on that list I asked for quotes from, who I actually got through to. So I've got three quotes. And nothing's ever straightforward, is it? So the first quote of £1,200, the solicitors said in their write-up to, if I get another quote, they're, you know, willing to look at it, because not all quotes are like for like. So the next quote I got was just under £900. So that's £300 difference. So I contacted the first solicitors, said, look, I've got this other quote, told them what it was, and they immediately said, oh, we're not going to be able to match that. And I said, well, one of the things you did say was, is it like for like, etc. And so I sent through this other quote, and they immediately responded by saying, oh, we're going to have to add another £250 anyway because of the staircasing. And I thought, oh, okay, but nothing, no real interaction. And I thought, they're a bit cold, I thought. So when I looked at this quote for just under £900, I was thinking, well, what's missing? What extras might I need to be paying for? The skeptic in me. So I looked at the sort of narrative, and they were saying, well, you may need to pay extra for this, extra for that, blah, 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 blah. So I got back to them and asked them questions, you know, what other extras may I have to pay? I'll be staircasing at the same simultaneously. What if it all falls through? Blah, blah, blah. And at the same time, I got another quote, which was just under 1,100. Okay, so I got one for 900, one for 1,100, one for around 1,250. And so this second one for around 1,100, I again asked them similar questions. Now the one for 1,100, in fact, I liked their documentation. And even when I spoke to them on the phone, you know, very polite and sort of saying, look, we don't really charge for extras, you know, blah, blah, blah. They just came across more friendly. I got some responses back. The one for 900 said, oh, actually for the staircasing, it's an extra 290 something pounds, so that's an extra 300. Now that'll take it up to 1,200, doesn't it? The same for the one that was just under 1,100, another 200. So I thought, you know what? I think I'm going to go for the middle ground, the one in the middle. The one that's cheapest, I don't know what might be hidden. The one that's gone up to 1400 now, they weren't that friendly. And the one in the middle, they seem to be, yeah, a bit friendlier and seem to be a bit more upfront about costs as well. All very complex, these things, aren't they? And I felt, to tell you the truth, I think it's when we're dealing with things like this, we can feel a bit on our own. And I was feeling a little bit sort of on my own, but I'm okay. I said, well, it's okay. It'll get sorted. I am very able to look at these things, do an assessment, and I think I'm, well, you don't know. At the end of the day, you don't know. And in my head, I am able to say to myself these days, it is, I'm a bit worried about things. So I'm just having a slight little panic. I don't know why I'm having a slight little panic. Because I'm just checking that I've got my keys. Yeah, I can feel my key. Well, my keys are in my inside pocket. There isn't any holes. I know there isn't holes. But I touched and I couldn't feel my keys. And so I had a slight little panic. It's amazing, isn't it? What panics us. Slight little panic there. I'm okay. I'm okay now. A bit insecure about things maybe at the moment. Who knows? There's a lot of people about. I keep having to stop and let people go by. Hello? So, there we go. And some people are very good with the social distancing thing and they will step aside. And other people, they just stay their ground in the middle. And so, you know, I've literally they're taking up the whole path. They don't need to. And I'm literally having to walk off path to pass them. And then they sort of give me a funny look. Anyhow. It is what it is. It's a Sunday. So, yes. So, again, going off path. And there's not much room. But here we go. Excuse me. It's all a bit distracting. I know. And I'm feeling very thirsty right now. Don't think I had enough to drink before I came out. I should have carried out some water with me next time, maybe. So, maybe you can hear people talking in the background. Yes, the surveyors are coming. The buyer's surveyors are coming next week on Thursday. And I've had the last two nights, I have woken up early and not been able to go back to sleep. And I have been worrying. And I've been worrying about the survey. Another survey's got to be undertaken for the Housing Association. And the buyers are undertaking a survey themselves. And I think my worry is that what the buyer survey may find and whether they're going to want to knock some money off the house again. And whether when the survey is done for the Housing Association, independent survey, that it's going to be, you know, coincide, be similar to that to what the house has been sold for. Oh, it's all very, very complex. It's all very complex, and I'll be happy when it's all done. Well, that's what we say, don't we? Yeah. I just want to get to that point. Where do I want to be right now? I want to be at the point where I have bought my new house and I'm settling in. That's where I want to be right now. This house has been sold. I've been in rented accommodation maybe for a little while. I've got okay for mortgage found my dream home and I've moved in. I want to miss out all this bit in the middle, but I know that I can't. I also know that where I want to be, I will get there at some point. I will get there. So, and I just have to be patient. Yes. I just have to be patient. And I can be patient, I know I can. So, it's definitely mud today. Definitely mud. Trying to get through. So that's where I am with the house, really. So I am feeling a little bit anxious about things, but once certain things are sorted, I'll be all right. I'm sure I will. It's just getting through these bits. So let's go on to the topic, which is a little bit more, a bit happier. Not that I'm unhappy about things, but a bit less stressful maybe. Yeah, so I want to share my 5-day treasure chest challenge. And I call it my treasure chest challenge because it's really for you if you've been wanting to save some money, or you want to find some money to get your emergency fund started, or you want to add some money to your emergency fund, or you want to buy something and you're not sure where to get the money from at the moment because, yeah, it doesn't seem like you've got any spare cash. And the reason I call it a treasure chest challenge, you know, on a map, if you think about, I suppose, goes back to when Treasure Island and stuff like that, and there's a cross and everybody's trying to get over to the island and find where the treasure has been buried. And what I want to say is your house, your home is a treasure chest. Okay, your home is a treasure chest. And the point of this treasure chest challenge is that when you complete this challenge, you could find up to £1,000 that you didn't know you had. Okay, so it's a challenge. Okay, and I say you could find up to £1,000. And when I did this challenge, and it was somebody else, and that's where I got the idea from. Really, did it with somebody else, and I was astounded at how much money I found just after a couple of days. I think it was, I found £500 just after the first few days. I must look back. I think in the actual challenge itself, I might give a total of how much I found. But the reason why I thought, oh, I need to share this here on my podcast, it's because a listener shared with me that they were struggling to save money, and they'd save some money, and then they'd have to dip into it, and so it never grew. So I suggested that she try my treasure chest challenge, and I said to her, "Look, here's day one. So just." It's a video. I showed this. The 5-day challenge is 5 videos, really. So it's very easy. You sit, watch the videos, and just do what I tell you. Not that I'm bossy or anything like that, but watch the videos and follow my suggestions. Suggestions, that's what I'll say. So what I'm trying to do now is she did this. She watched the video and we were talking and she said, "Oh my gosh, Sonia, I must tell you what happened when I did your challenge." And when she told me, and she was so excited, I said, would you be willing to write a testimonial for me? And she said, yes. So I'm going to read it now. Although I haven't got my proper glasses on. I've just had to take my sunglasses off so that I can see properly. Oh dear, honestly, Sonia. And I'm holding it out. My eyes are squinting. But I'm going to read it. And let's see. So she says, and if you're listening, I was so pleased for you when you shared this with me. And what's lovely is getting the feedback that something that I created has helped you get this result. And if it's helped you get this result, I know that it can help other people get a similar result. Now, I've just got to navigate a part of this route. We've just got a sharp incline. And then I'll start reading this, otherwise I might find myself flat on my face. Okay, here we go. Hi, Sonia. So I decided to take part in your 5 days treasure chest hunt with the girls. I must say that I hardly leave any money lying around in the house. So the challenge may just be a waste of time, as I may end up with finding a few pennies here and there. So she's got a smiley face. How wrong was I? Smiley face. Anyway, we started by looking in the hall and we looked at all the places that you suggested. The kids were very excited and they started having a competition between them as to who finds the most money. We then ended up in the kitchen. We went up to all the bedrooms and then the bathroom. After counting everything, and to our surprise, we ended up with a sum of £375. Yes, £375. That is a lot of money to me. I could not believe that we had such an amount of money in the house. We have not even looked in the car and the conservatory. I also found some foreign monies, and she's got 35 euros. I can't see. 35 euros, it's a bit muddy here, and $15, and some few Ghana, I don't know if it's cedis or cedis, so I'm assuming that's the monies. I must find out. It has been a wonderful experience, and I just want to say that it works. I'm so over the moon. £375. Whoop, whoop. Two dancing girls, or dancing women. Thank you for the tip. I can't wait for part two. How amazing is that? When she said it to me, and then when I read that, she took the time to write that testimonial. Thank you so much for doing that. I had such a warm feeling in my chest. I know it works because it worked for me. But somehow, you know, you create something, you put it out there, and you're a little bit, you know, will it work? And then somebody takes the time. So thank you for trusting in me and trusting in yourself as well, because yes, there's a trust, isn't there? Trust in me that what I'm saying, what I'm suggesting that you do, I'm guiding you to do, is going to work. And I'm guiding you to do it because it's worked for me. I'm not sharing anything that I haven't done myself and got a result. So it has worked for me. And I'm saying, look, this is what I've done. And I think it may work for you. And so you've got to trust me in the first instance that what I'm saying is true, that it has worked for me and it could potentially work for you. And then you've got to trust yourself, haven't you? Because you're the one who has to take the action. And you've got to be willing. You've got to be willing to take the action, the exact action, not partial even, because we can all do that, can't we? Oh, there's a diet. Oh, I tried a diet. It didn't work. Well, did you really try? Did you do everything? You know, did you really avoid certain things? Did you really weigh everything, etc.? So you know what I'm talking about. So you've got to trust yourself that you're going to take the specific action that's required to get the result. And you did that. And because you did that and you got a result and you're really happy with it, and I'm really happy for you. And, you know, the bonus was that you involved your children and they were happy and excited about doing it as well. So you turned it into a game. So what I'm really happy about is that you also took the time to give me the feedback, put it in writing. And now what I can do is I can say, look, here's a strategy that I used to find some extra money, some extra cash. Somebody else did it. So I shared this with somebody else. They did the exact thing and they also got a result. So there's two of us here. So if you had any doubts as to whether or not this could give you similar results, well, look, there's two of us here that have done it. And potentially it can work for you too. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share the instructions. So I've already got a recording. It's a video. So what I think I'm going to do is use that video and just tag it on the end of this podcast, or I will record it specially for the podcast. I've got the script, so I might do that, but I will do that indoors. And what I'm thinking about doing is when I'm back indoors, when I'm back indoors, I've said that three times now, I still haven't used my Fan Dabby Dozy new mic yet to do a podcast, so I might use my mic to re-record that as an audio only, especially for this podcast. Yeah, I like the idea of that. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to say over and out for this bit and go straight into day one of the Treasure Chest Challenge.
Welcome to day one of the 5-day Treasure Chest Challenge. The aim of the challenge is to help you build a 1-month emergency fund fast to support you through your next medical emergency. Day one of the challenge is about discovering hidden treasure in your home. But before we get started, I want to share a bit of my story. My name is Smiling Sonia. Between 2013 and 2014, I was struck with viral meningitis 3 times. Each time I was hospitalized and had to take extended time off work. The first attack struck in February 2013. I returned to work after around 3 months. I was still suffering from daily headaches, neck and back pain, tinnitus, poor concentration. I even had speech problems and severe fatigue. But I felt forced to return to work because I was the main breadwinner. Now, I am fortunate to be with a company that pays full sick pay for 6 months and then half pay for a further 6 months before dropping to zero. But I didn't want to use up my entitlement in one go. Unfortunately, within 3 months of returning to work, I was struck again with viral meningitis. Again, I returned to work within 3 months because I'd only returned 3 months before, having been off for 3 months, and I didn't want to use up my entitlement. I was worried about not being able to pay the bills, the mortgage, etc. Now, this time around, I thought things were all right, although I still suffered terribly with ongoing headaches and fatigue. But it was about 10 months later, I was struck for a third time. Now, fortunately, 12 months had passed since the first attack. And so I still had a full 6 months entitlement. But again, I didn't want to use it all up. I was extremely worried and stressed because I'd now been struck 3 times in a 2-year period. And I just didn't know when I'd have another flare up. I did have a very supportive manager who did allow me to work flexibly. Now, at the time, I thought my problem was just that I didn't earn enough money. At the time, my partner wasn't working, and so the household was relying on me, and I had full responsibility for all the bills. Unfortunately, in 2017, that relationship came to an end, and I found myself naturally worrying about the future. I was also at my heaviest in terms of my weight, and mainly because I wasn't as active as I used to be. I often felt fatigued, and I was worried about being a single person in my 50s. Retirement didn't seem that far away, and now I'd be looking towards the future as a single person and somebody living with a chronic illness. I didn't wallow in self-pity for too long though, and in 2018, as well as deciding that I needed to take control of my health, I also decided to educate myself about money. And that's when I learned the importance of having an emergency fund. And for the first time, I started to build an emergency fund. Unfortunately, I was struck again with viral meningitis in 2018. But this time I had a bit of a financial buffer. I wasn't so stressed about money, and I didn't feel rushed to return to work, although I think I returned before 3 months anyway. In February 2019, I took part in a challenge to build an emergency fund of £500. It took place in a group much like this one, and we had a mentor providing us with information and instructions as to what to do. I guess a bit like what I'm doing now. I'd already started to build an emergency fund and thought this would be a good opportunity to accelerate my results and move me closer to my ultimate goal of having 6 months worth of living expenses in an emergency fund. Now, to tell you the truth, I didn't believe that I could raise £500 just from finding money in my home. In fact, I raised £474.51, though it's showing here £514.15. My maths went a bit awry there. It may not have been the £500 that I was aiming for, but I'm sure you'd agree that is close enough. In this 5-day challenge, I'm going to be sharing with you what I did to raise that money. And it doesn't matter where you start from, it can act as a kickstart to you raising your own emergency fund. So to kick off day one, it's all about discovering the hidden treasure in your home. The challenge requires a commitment from you. Without that commitment, you will not get the results you want. So this is the commitment you're signing up to. You will watch the daily videos that I put out each day. This is the first of the 5 videos, so well done. You've already made your first commitment by watching this video. You will share your wins in the group And this is so important that you do this. And it's also a way of getting support, giving support to others as well. If there's anything you do not understand, please, please ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. I'll be there to answer those questions and or point you in the right direction if I can. And what I found in the other groups that I've been in is that sometimes other people will have experiences and will be able to answer your questions too. Okay, so it's all about support. And you know, what's most important is have fun. The idea of building an emergency fund, there's nothing, I don't know, jolly or sexy about that. But it doesn't mean that we can't have fun doing this. Okay, so watch your daily videos, share your wins, ask questions, and have fun. So, okay, this is where the fun starts. You know, so how do you get started looking for hidden treasure in your home? And it's not like we're on a sort of an island somewhere and there's that you've got a map and X marks the spot. Well, you're going to go through your home collecting any money or loose change that you find. I mean, really, it is that simple. And when you find that money, you're going to put it together in one place. And this is going to be your starter emergency fund. Now, you may already have a bit of an emergency fund or a big emergency fund, but this will add to it. Okay. Now, the idea is that you're going to put this money into a savings account. Please do not put it in your checking account or any account that you regularly go into to withdraw money. An emergency fund is exactly that. It's for emergencies only. Okay. So it absolutely must be a separate account. Now, I don't know where you're sitting at the moment, and you may well be sitting in your living room. So have you ever been sitting on your sofa and got up and maybe you've had some money in your pocket or something else and it's fallen out and so you've had to lift up the cushions to find that money or whatever it is, else has fallen down in between the cushions. And usually there's all manual things under the cushions, isn't there? Maybe you've decided to do some spring cleaning and that's when the cushions come up and definitely find odds and sods down there. So that's what this activity is all about. It is about going through your home and looking in those places, those forgotten places where money has either been put away for safekeeping or fallen out of your pocket or purse or wallet or bag, etc. So the most helpful way that I thought to help you do this exercise is to go room by room, giving you an idea of where to look for money, where to look for this hidden or forgotten cash. Before we go on, I suggest you grab a pen and paper. Okay, so if you need to hit pause, go grab pen and paper, or maybe you're going to do it on your phone or laptop or whatever. Okay, great. So what you're going to do is create a checklist. And I've got some information on screen that should help you. And as you go through each room, you're going to check off each area as you go through. And if you find money in any of those places, you may want to record the amount next to the actual area in that room. So so you do your checklist how you want to. It's up to you. So let's start with the living room. Okay. Under the sofa, under chairs,
and the cushions. If you've got a mantelpiece, a fireplace, you know, you got any pictures or ornaments on there, underneath, behind. If you've got a bookcase, your rug, check under the rug. Even your window ledge, you know, where the curtain, because I've definitely popped things on the window ledge behind the curtain. Footstool, I've got one of those footstools that I can store things in. So you may have something like that. Okay, so, you know, any kind of nooks or crannies in your living room. Okay, so let's move to the dining room. If you have a dining room, you may have some bookshelves in there, some kind of drawers, you know, people have those cupboards, don't they, where they showcase their crockery. That's it. You may have a rug, again, if you've got ornaments in there as well. I had a piano in my dining room up to a few weeks ago. I've got rid of it now. And I used to just pop things on top of the piano. So if you've got anything like that, check the piano as well. Okay, so let's move to the kitchen. Oh God, there's so many nooks and crannies in the kitchen. But you know, obviously cupboards, drawers, shelves, washing machine, okay? You know, sometimes coins can drop into the little rubber bit if you have a dryer. On top of the fridge, freezer, I mean, wherever there's the potential for you to kind of stick something in, check. Okay, now don't forget the hallway. And in the hallway, you might have a little cupboard or a little drawer, maybe somewhere that you pop your keys. And because that's where you tend to take your coat off, take off shoes and stuff. You never know whether money's fallen out of your pocket and rolled into, you know, by the skirting board, etc. So in the rooms as well, don't forget the skirting board. Okay, the bedroom. The bedroom. Obvious, under the bed. Even under the mattress as well. Wardrobes. Now, clothes. Okay, so when you're thinking about clothes, you're thinking about pockets. Okay, so coats, jackets, dresses, jeans, trousers, shorts. Okay, can't think of anything else, but you get the picture. Purse, wallet, handbag, coin jars. I've definitely got one of those. I've had those sort of big coin jars where I'm just dropping my pennies and stuff in. You want to use that as well. I've actually got two little piggies that I've dropped coins in. Jewelry box, because sometimes you pick something and just drop it in your jewelry box. Bags, rucksack, sports bag, suitcases. Okay, and again, in your bedroom, if you've got a rug, the windowsill, etc., the same as other rooms. Okay, so you may have an office. So you may have an office, a separate office, or you may have an office in one of the rooms that we've already looked in. So do check, excuse me, the chest drawer, check the desk drawer, bookshelves, laptop bag, pen caddy, you know, where you probably drop pens, pencils, rubbers, etc. Briefcase. Okay, so that's your office. And you know, if you have a spare room or a loft, again, you may have boxes and things, you may have shelving, bookcases. You want to go everywhere. You don't want to leave any place in your home unturned. And the house also includes your car. Surprise, surprise. So if you have a car or any kind of vehicle, you want to go through that as well. The glove compartment, under the car mats, okay? Down the back of the seat, the side of the seats, under the seats, okay, the boot, as well. Okay. And what if you've got garage, toolbox? Okay. But you get the idea. So hopefully you've been writing down different areas of the room, and I've got it on screen here, and I think I may have mentioned some extra ones as well. Now, cash, depending what country you're in, doesn't just have to be the currency of the country that you're in. So I'm in the UK, and so we've got pounds and pennies. But I also have been abroad, and one of the things that happens, of course, when you go abroad, you come back with some spare cash. And depending on how much you have, you may go and get it exchanged, or you may decide not to. Now, funnily enough, the other day I came across a mug in my wardrobe, completely forgotten, and it's got some euros in the mug. And I now remember that one of the reasons that I left the euros in there is because I thought, well, I'll probably be traveling abroad again, and so I might as well just keep them for when I travel next time. Now, actually, I don't think I've been abroad since 2015, so that's a while ago. Okay, so I think I might well add that to my emergency fund. So at the time of recording this video, I'm recovering from my latest viral meningitis attack. I was hospitalized for 4 days. Actually, 5 days. I think it's 4 days, 5 days. I actually returned to work this week. I only had 2 months off following that attack. My recovery has been quicker, though I still suffer with a number of symptoms, headaches, neck pain, fatigue. So I am taking things really easy. Now, I have an emergency fund of 6 months' worth of living expenses. And this time round, whilst recuperating, I didn't have that added stress of worrying about whether or not I'd need extended sick leave. And if I did need extended sick leave, I mean, how would I be financially? Would I be able to cover my expenses, etc., as compared to where I was back in 2013, 2014. And I do think that not having that added stress of worrying about my finances has helped me in my recovery and recuperation. Now, not only do I feel more secure financially, over the last few years, I have been able to transform other areas of my life too. And, as dealing with a chronic illness, one of the things that I've had to do is focus on my health. And, looking after your health can be quite expensive. Having to pay for additional medication, and I have had to. But since 2017, I've lost 9 stone. That's over 100 pounds in weight. So not only have I had a sort of financial transformation, I've also had a transformation in relation to my wellness, my health as well. When I was first diagnosed with a chronic illness back in 2013, for a couple of years after that, I was just surviving, and I spent most of my time feeling anxious about my finances and about my future. Now, I'm not just living with my chronic illness, I'm thriving. And I know a lot has to do with taking control of my finances and creating a financial buffer in case of future medical emergencies. Now, that's it for day one. Let's recap. You discovered how to find hidden treasure in your home. All the information you need is in this video. So if you need a reminder of where to look, just hit replay. I do suggest you create a checklist, collect all the money together in one place, And you want to put the money in a separate savings account. So you may need to open an account, or maybe you have an account already that you can transfer money to. Please post your wins in the Facebook group. This isn't just for you, but it's also about supporting each other. And, most of all, have fun. Okay? I want you to have fun. So that's day one done. See you tomorrow for day two of the Treasure Chest Challenge.
Hey, Smiling Sonia here, your host at Thriving with a Chronic Illness. Now be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss out on the next episode. Now, if you liked what you heard today, be sure to visit my website, smilingsonia.com, to learn more about how I can help you build an emergency fund.